Welcome back to Learning Lutheran, the highly unanticipated, very unprofessional, and extremely boring podcast you always knew you didn't need, Learning Lutheran, where we are learning the distinctives of the Lutheran faith. And it's been a lot longer than I had anticipated to get this episode recorded and out. My plans were to have it out before Christmas, but I had some kids get sick, and then on top of just being really busy, I wasn't able to get that accomplished. But I'm here today recording it, and hopefully it'll be out later today. But in between the last episode and this episode, I started reading Martin Luther's Letters of Spiritual Counsel, and I'm absolutely loving it. I'm only about a quarter of the way through right now, so I still have some ways to go, but it shows that he was not only a brilliant theologian, but he was pastoral. He cared about his flock. He cared about the people around him. It wasn't just some head knowledge that he had, but this was something that he actually practiced, and he cared about his neighbor. And then second, I got my first copy of the Book of Concord, and I want to thank Pastor Ben Meyer off of Twitter, who shared the eBay link for it. It was a used copy I got for like $13 plus shipping and handling. But it was essentially a brand new copy. The ribbon was still folded up in its original packaging place, and the only thing in it was a note to whoever it was gifted to. And so it looks brand new. I got a really good deal on it. So thank you, Pastor Ben Meyer. And then I have some episodes lined up with my pastor, one being about iconography and how it's permissible. And then I've got some lined up with my elder on various topics, like adult confirmation and just some other things we'll talk about. And then I have an episode with a friend of mine who's actually the one who wrote and recorded the intro and outro to this podcast. And his name is Ricky Hanks. I haven't thanked him on this podcast for letting me use the song, but I'm going to do it now. Thank you, Ricky. And but we're going to talk about the title of the song because I really liked what was going through his mind when he wrote it. And then also he grew up in the Assembly of God Church, and just talk about his experience in it. And today we are going to be talking about a tweet I saw a couple of weeks ago now from a guy named David Green. And we are going to be reacting to it and to some of his responses from people who responded to him. And I don't plan on going through every single one of his responses, but we are going to look at a few of them. His original post says, "It's one thing to believe baptism is a covenant sign that can be given to people, babies, prior to their conversion. But when you go as far as to say that infants in the womb can be saved based on John the Baptist moving in the womb, that's false teaching. Galatians 1 level." So we'll be responding to this particular tweet and various ones that he has responded to people responding to him. We'll be looking through various scriptures, including his reference of John the Baptist moving in the womb that's recorded in Luke. And Lord willing, we will come out with a biblical view that babies do, in fact, have faith and are saved. And I didn't plan on it, but we are going to just go ahead and start with the account in Luke of John the Baptist leaping in Elizabeth's womb. In Luke 1:39 says, "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ear, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" And from there, it goes on into Mary's song, the Magnificat. But we see from this text that John does much more than just moving, as he states in his tweet. He's leaping for joy, as Elizabeth tells Mary. And there was one response to the tweet that I didn't take a screenshot of, but it did say that there was no evidence that Mary had even conceived at this point. But Elizabeth says, "And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And then Gabriel had also already visited Mary, as we see in previous verses. But Mary is already carrying Jesus in the womb here. Otherwise, I don't see a point in Mary already, with Elizabeth already telling Mary that she is the mother of her Lord. And in his tweet, it comes off the fact that he doesn't believe that babies are saved or can be saved. And then somebody does press him for this question. And he says, a question: an infant, heaven forbid, dies. Does the infant go to heaven or hell? And David replies, not really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the notion of a baby repenting of their sins and believing the gospel. I consider that absolute nonsense. Scripture only gives one vague indication that babies who die may end up in heaven. Not enough there to really say, in my opinion. So let's look at this vague reference that he's talking about. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 12, and it's about David's first son with Bathsheba. And I'm just going to read verse 23 real quick. It says, "But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. That doesn't seem very vague. The Webster Dictionary defines vague as not clearly expressed, stated in indefinite terms, not having a precise meaning, not clearly defined, grasped, or understood, not clearly felt or sensed, somewhat subconscious, not thinking or expressing one's thoughts clearly or precisely, lacking expression, not sharply outlined. And we can conclude that David himself is saved. And so for him to say that he is going to be where his dead infant son is would be to say that his son is saved in heaven with God. That's not vague. It's clear what David is saying there. And quite frankly, that's two times now that I think he is pretty much intently misrepresenting what Scripture is actually saying. And I hate saying that because I've interacted with the guy quite a bit on Twitter. And while I don't agree with everything he has to say, there are times where I am in full agreement with him. He comes off as a nice guy. And I hate having to say that I think he is intentionally misrepresenting what Scripture had to say in these two spots. But that's what the facts seem to be here. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I am wrong, but it seems that he is intentionally misrepresenting what Scripture actually has to say by saying this particular one is vague and then John just moved in the womb. So moving on, I'm going to be reading an exchange between him and this other guy. And it starts out, "Does someone really believe that we are saved in the womb? Yes, I've heard it from several people, this nonsense about being capable of repentance and faith, mostly Lutherans." "Wow, I've not heard that. However, I would maintain that because we are saved by grace alone, given to us before the beginning of time, it's possible that an infant or fetus could be saved by grace alone, just like I am. Would you agree or no?" "No, we are saved by faith. We're saved when we embrace the gospel." "Not trying to be argumentative here, am I wrong to state that you believe the new birth is God's response to our faith rather than the event which caused our faith?" "God's response to our faith, which he gave us. How's that? LOL. "If you believe in salvation by grace alone, there is no biblical basis to reject the potential election of someone who never reached a point in life where they could show the fruit of the Spirit. God makes it clear that he saves who he will. It does not depend on man, but on God." And going back to David's first response to this guy whose Twitter name is Jim, he ends it by saying, "mostly Lutherans." And I don't know, maybe it was just the way I grew up. I don't know, but this was definitely something that I had already held to prior to ever even, before I even thought of going to a Lutheran church. And I find it odd that a Baptist is thinking this way. And I grew up Baptist myself, and I had always been taught about the quote unquote age of accountability, which I've never found in scripture, but it was something I had always been taught growing up. And I assumed all Baptists kind of held to that, or some form of it at least. So I find it odd that he's stating, he clearly states that babies can't be saved, when he says, no, we are saved by faith. We're saved when we embrace the gospel. And he's making salvation out here to be a work of man and not of God, placing salvation within and not outside of ourself. But before I move on to tackle that, I want to look at some scriptures in Psalm to see if babies do in fact have faith. We're going to start in Psalm 22 and then go into Psalm 71. But Psalm 22 verse 9 says, yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. And Psalm 71, starting in verse 5, says, for you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. And yes, you can easily say that the Psalms are about Jesus Christ. That is 100% true, that the Psalms point to him. For Jesus says, all scripture does. But we also can't deny that the Psalms were written through men who were going through actual events. And these two in particular are from David. And he is speaking of himself while at the same time prophesying about Christ. So David is, in fact, from the womb, leaning on God. And in Psalm 22, David is even saying that God is making him to be the one to trust in God. So it wasn't a work of David, but it was indeed a work of God. And that'll bring us back to his response when he says, no, we are saved by faith. We're saved when we embrace the gospel. But the question is, what is faith? David's making faith out to be something that we do, that we have the capability of doing on our own. And looking at scripture again, we see that this is not the case. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So David is absolutely 100% correct. We are saved by faith. But faith is not a work of us. It is a gift from God given to us. And in this faith, we cannot boast, because it is God who did the work and not us. And this will be my only appeal outside of scripture. And it's a quote from Martin Luther. "I believe that by my own reason or strength, I cannot believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and preserved me in true faith." And in short, what Martin Luther is saying, I believe that I cannot believe. Our faith is not of us, but from God. So, are infants saved? Can they have faith? I think scripture attests to yes on both of those questions. Not only are infants saved, but they have faith. That's not to say that infants are sinless, because scripture attests to the opposite of that, that there are none good, none who seek God, and that only Jesus Christ was sinless, both passively and actively. But the faith is a gift from God, not of our own works. We believe because God makes us capable. To say otherwise would be to fall into the Pelagian heresy that man can come to salvation on his own will. And so when we start doubting our own faith, our own salvation, we don't look inward towards ourselves. We must look outside ourselves, and look to Christ on the cross, the promises that God gives us in the Bible. Because when we look only to ourselves, if my faith was genuine, did I do enough? Do I believe enough? That won't bring comfort. It'll only bring despair and more questioning. So if you are doubting, it's not you. Look to Christ and trust his promises. That's all I have for today. Lord willing, I'll be able to get some more episodes out sooner and not have to wait so long. And Lord willing, it'll be a better workflow, and with my pastor, the elder, and my buddy Ricky. Hopefully the conversations will be good and edifying and Christ exalting. So I'll see you next time. The Lord be with you.